Let's follow Renaud, because there's an important date here, November 17, 1986.
Right.
The chairman of Renaud is George
Bess.
George Bess. He's the chairman, and you've already alluded to the fact that they were losing large amounts of money with American Motors. But there was a strong labor union that didn't like what was going on. So you could pick up on that, laying us up to the evening of November 17th, 1986.
Well, there were a strong opinion in the French government that they were pouring money, French money, into a bottomless pit with American Motors. And the French kind of socialist approach to business, the idea is to try to keep all your people employed. And they were afraid that they had to lay off French workers, and they were pouring money, French money, government money, into the U.S., that was probably one of the worst political things that they could possibly do. Now, George Bess was brought in to replace the chairman who had started, had come in right shortly after they had started the agreement with AMC and Renault. And he was a extremely strong executive. He had gone to the top, you know, in France they have these different schools of where they take and put in charge of different industries, technicals, you know, and the like. And this man was put into an industry that they had. I believe it was a steel industry or some alloy of metal. And he just turned that thing around. And he had this marvelous reputation and resume. So they put him in as chairman. And he was, you know, looking very hard at how we were progressing. And we were not only lowering the losses, but we were getting to a point where we were going to turn the corner. In the meantime, Lee Iacocca wanted to find a way to improve Chrysler's performance. And he had started sometime before this to kind of be a conglomerate. And he was buying different businesses like Aeronautronic Company that did big planes in Waco, Texas, Electronic Communication in Richardson, Texas, Gulfstream Airplanes, a military operation in Alabama. And he was figures that way, because the auto industry is always cyclical, and when there's a downturn, it'd be nice to have something else that would keep profits, you know, more stable. And he had put together an M&A activity, and they were looking at everything. What could they buy, you know, what could they add, and so forth. And Iacocca realized they had a major hole in their lineup with the sports utility vehicles. And he said, I want Jeep. And in order to get Jeep, he had to get Renault to sell them Jeep. And there was a Lazard president, Felix Roten. In fact, Felix was one of the people who helped turn New York City around. It's because when it had its financial rocky point. And Roten was on the AMC board as a Renault appointed board member. And when Iacocca said, he talked to Roatan, and he said, I'd like to meet George Best. So Roatan arranged an initial meeting with Iacocca and Best, and they talked about, you know, is there a way for us to buy Jeep? And Best said, I don't really think so, and certainly not at this time. So Iacocca came back, but still he was watching what had happened. We had introduced the XJ compact Jeep vehicles, two-door and four-door. There was Cherokees, and they were absolutely hit home runs for us because they had both a two-door and a four-door. And Chevy and Ford only had two-door models. And we had a number of features that they did not have. And they were major successes in the marketplace. So while the Renault products that we were selling had quality issues and were, after a great start, were going down, the Jeep sales were going up. And we had another Jeep replacement that was coming that was going to be even better. And so Iacocca is really, he's watching the success of the Jeep vehicles, and he couldn't get out of his mind, so he wanted his people to go back and try again. And Roatan arranged for more meetings with some of Bess's people, and it was, you know, some progress and no progress, and finally it got to where they were really getting serious. They were going to go over to, they were going to make a report to Chrysler's board in New York City. Then they were going to fly to Paris and try to put the deal together. And they, 2 days before, they got a call from Bess. And Bess said, I've thought this over. I'm not interested in selling Jeep or in any way, either alone or with the company. And the reason is because Renault at the time was like the sixth largest manufacturer in the world. They built 1.1 million cars and about a slightly under 200,000 trucks, but they only sold like 13,000 Renault cars in the United States, the world's biggest automotive market. And he saw the AMC network as being the way for Renault to participate. And they've already poured all this money in, and he had agreed that that was the thing. He saw the numbers, he saw the beginning of the turnaround, and he said, no, I'm not going to sell. 2 days later, on his way home at his normal time, as he got out of his car, two women were pushing a baby buggy right up to where he was getting out to his home. And they looked like they were fixing the blankets for the baby. And they pulled out guns, and they assassinated him right in front of his house. And these were the Action Direct. They were a red, they call them a red faction. And they had been kidnapping and killing top executives of European companies. These people were caught. But what happened with that, it changed everything. Because when Bess, you see, was holding off the political pressure for what he thought was the right business decision, his replacement, which came about 2.5 months later, was another fellow from another industry. His name was Raymond Levy. And he was like a little Caesar. And he knew everything. He would say, John, can you tell me how often you or how long you worked on the radio? And he said, no, don't worry. He wouldn't give you a chance to answer. I know. And if he knew everything, then why did he want to ask you any questions? And that's the way he was. And he got the direct order from the treasurer, get us out of American Motors. So he shortly made his first trip to the U.S. and met with Lee Iacocca at Lee Iacocca's at the Chrysler Suite and in the Waldorf Astoria, and basically said, the game's back on. You know, let's talk about selling. We're ready to get back into a sales mode. You know, had Bess not been assassinated, it wouldn't have happened. And then it was back on, and eventually it all came together. But there are a lot of other things that kind of took place during that process.